Ever been really hungry? Now I'm not talking about it's 12 o'clock noon and the pastor's still preaching. Rather a hunger that brings you to forget everything else but food. In 1846, a group of settlers traveling to California under the leadership of a man by the name of Donner, so it was called the Donner Party, became trapped by an early snowstorm in the Sierra Nevada mountains. They soon ran out of food. They began starving and dying. Driven by such hunger, they resorted to cannibalism. And still many died. Of the 87 original settlers, only 48 survived. In our next beatitude, Jesus uses this physical craving of hunger as well as thirst to illustrate another characteristic of the disciple of Jesus Christ, of the citizen of the kingdom. In one sense, the first three Beatitudes are negative, as we recognize our own spiritual bankruptcy, that we are but spiritual beggars, and grieve and mourn over our sinfulness, and humble ourselves in meekness to the Lord. This fourth beatitude, we might say, is positive. We might even say a natural result of understanding our own spiritual poverty, of our own brokenness and sinfulness. And as we understand that, we hunger and we thirst after the righteousness of God. Shortly before Jesus taught these Beatitudes, he'd been in the wilderness where he had fasted for 40 days. And after those 40 days, Matthew tells us in chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus was hungry. And we can just imagine how hungry he would have been. The pangs of hunger gripped him after 40 days without food. Well, that word hunger that we find in Matthew 4, after 40 days of fasting, is the same word that Jesus uses here in our text of chapter 5, verse 6. The hunger created by 40 days of fasting would surely be pretty strong. It was at this point that Satan came to Jesus and tempted him to satisfy his intense hunger by turning a rock into bread. Something Jesus easily could have done. For in his ministry later, he would turn more than once nothing into food, or a small fish and small bread into enough for thousands. But in this case, Satan was tempting Jesus to sin, since it would be against the Father's will. And Jesus refused to heed the words of Satan. The word Jesus uses for thirst is the Greek word dipso. That doesn't mean anything to you, but you know the English word dipsomania that comes from it. It's an abnormal and insatiable craving for alcohol. This thirst, this word that Jesus uses for thirst, is simply to have a strong thirst. So Jesus says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness." He's talking about those who are in anguish because of sin, who understand their own unrighteousness and spiritual poverty before a holy God, and crave with an insatiable appetite and a burning thirst the only thing that can satisfy: the righteousness of God. This is how Isaiah expressed it in Isaiah 55. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money. without Christ. What Jesus is speaking of is a holy dissatisfaction with one's spiritual condition that brings a strong desire, an intense pursuit, an intense longing for the righteousness of God. Too often we try to satisfy our spiritual longings with the wrong things. Lucifer directed his longings toward replacing God. In fact, he said in his own heart, "I will be like the Most High God. I will dethrone him and set myself up in his place." And he replaced the righteousness of God as a goal with his own selfish desires to his own doom. You recall the rich farmer whose crops were so abundant that his barns were bursting, and he said, "I will build more barns and I will eat and drink and make merry." What is it that you hunger and thirst after? Literal food and drink? What the Bible calls gluttony? Pleasure? Craving for fun and adventure and excitement or wealth, material possessions and financial security? Fame, a good name? What is it that you desire and long for? Perhaps even something more positive. Oh, spiritual knowledge and experience. These cravings can be all-consuming. As you know, I go to the county jail usually every week. One of the major problems is drugs. I've seen both men and women who tell me that they have such a driving hunger for the pleasures of drugs that they have abandoned family and friends and even their children, and in a couple of cases, grandchildren. They give up everything to obtain a momentary pleasure that they receive and testify to me of its intensity, and etc., etc. A momentary pleasure, and they abandon all. But the craving of the citizens of the kingdom, the consuming desire or passion of Christ's disciples, followers of our Lord, is for righteousness. This hungering and thirsting for righteousness is not only necessary for entering the kingdom of heaven, it's a characteristic of those who are in the kingdom. And yet it is a hunger and a thirst that's never fully satisfied until we get to glory. Moses had been in the wilderness for 40 years, you will recall, shepherding sheep. And God spoke to him out of a bush that didn't burn up. It got Moses' attention, and he went to that bush that was not being consumed, even though it was aflame. And there God revealed himself to him. In fact, gave Moses his unique special name, his covenant name, I Am. And then God used Moses to miraculously deliver his people, Israel, from bondage in Egypt. You recall that he did great plagues. He empowered Moses to part the Red Sea so that Israel could flee across on dry land. Then Moses saw God provide manna from heaven, water from a rock, quail in abundance. Moses at Mount Sinai experienced the very presence of God, received stone tablets written, the scripture says, by the finger of God with the Ten Commandments. But it wasn't enough. Moses saw God manifest himself in the pillar of fire called the Shekinah glory. But it wasn't enough. Moses says, I want to see your glory. And finally, we read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Moses, in spite of all the blessings and interactions with God, even meeting with him face to face, it wasn't enough. And he hungered and thirsted for more. That is the hunger and the thirst that Jesus is saying should characterize every child of God's. Always hungering for more of God. Always thirsting for a closer fellowship with the Lord. Longing to be more faithful to Him. Longing to be more obedient to Him. David expressed this in the Psalms, Psalm 42. Said, as the deer pants for the water brooks. It doesn't sound right when we say deer instead of hart, does it? The King James says, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 84, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. We see the words of Christ echoed from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It was the longing of Asaph, Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For the citizen of the kingdom, the true child of God, this hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God never diminishes. It's a lifelong driving passion and desire. And my reflection is it grows stronger and stronger as you get older. It makes me wish I had it when I was a teenager, a young adult. What does Jesus mean when he refers to righteousness? What is this? This word righteousness can be understood in two different ways, and both are, I think, helpful for us to understand Jesus' words. First, we can understand righteousness in a positional sense. That is, the standing of being righteous before God. We would call that salvation or justification. The word righteousness, in fact, has the same root as the word justify. The sinner sees his sin and his failure before a holy God and is smitten, stricken, broken by that, realizing his total inability to stand before a holy God, crying out to God, craving what only he can give, righteousness, salvation, a right standing or just standing before God. This is what God did through Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience," that is Adam's, back in Genesis 3, "for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous," just before God. And Jesus accomplished this on the cross of Calvary. What sinners long for, crave, but are unable to secure for themselves, righteousness before a holy God, was accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you recognized your sinfulness? Have you recognized your utter unworthiness to approach God? Many try to fix that problem by works of righteousness, by good deeds. Whether it's baptism or church attendance or giving, good things. But these do not remove sin. They do not give us a righteous standing before a holy God. In the words of Jeremiah, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Rather than quenching our thirst with the living water, Jesus Christ, and our hunger with the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But we can also understand the word righteousness in a practical sense. That is what we might call sanctification. A day-by-day righteousness, a conformity day-by-day to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying we need to hunger and thirst after holiness. Amen. That word scares too many. To have a longing to be more like the Savior, to be holy, as Peter puts it, as God is holy, walking in obedience to His commandments and His will. The point Jesus is making here is that no matter how good we are, we have never arrived, we will never arrive. This was a mistake of the Pharisees. They thought they had arrived. And so they had a spiritual pride. They had a self-righteousness that caused them to look down upon everybody else. Luke chapter 18 tells of an encounter of a ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus pointed him to the Ten Commandments. And the ruler replied, "Well, all these I've kept from my youth." Outwardly, he was a pretty good guy. Well, Jesus didn't dispute that claim. Very interesting. Jesus didn't start nitpicking with him on that. He went right on and he pointed out the real issue. And the issue that was the real issue was his heart. His real affections were not for God, but for money. And he would not even part with his wealth if it meant obtaining eternal life. This man, no matter how sincere he was, did not hunger and thirst after righteousness. In Christ, we are positionally righteous. We are justified. We are holy. And so we dare to stand before a holy and a just God in Christ and call Him Father. And He hears us and receives us. But practically, we are not righteous. John says that if we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. As we understand that understand our sinfulness, even as believers in Christ, our longing will be for a heart that reflects Christ as well as an outward obedience. John Stott wrote, "It is not enough to mourn over past sin. We must also hunger for future righteousness." Understanding our own sin, our own failure, we need to cry out to God to help us attain the righteousness that is only found in Christ Jesus. Let me briefly mention some attitudes that reflect this spiritual hungering and thirsting. First, there is a dissatisfaction with your spiritual life. Unlike the Pharisees who were satisfied and self-righteous because they accomplished what needed to be done. And those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, there's a recognition of your own unrighteousness. An attitude that Paul expressed this way in Romans 7:24. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" And he goes on and talks about the things that I should do, I don't do, and the things I shouldn't do, I do. The Apostle Paul struggled with his fallen, sinful nature. But he recognized this and longed and sought to be free of it. Second, you need to realize that external things do not satisfy. As Christians, we so fail in this area. We so often look to the external for satisfaction and fulfillment. Flowers are a wonderful thing. God, in His goodness, didn't create in black and white. He created beautiful flowers that, you know, in the scheme of things, are here today. In fact, Jesus talks about this. You know, they grow up quickly, they blossom, and then they're gone. God in His goodness gave us those things, but they do not and cannot and will not satisfy a starving man's hunger. You need to keep the things of life in balance. Moderation in all things. The physical things of the world, even good things, will not achieve the righteousness of God. Enjoy them, but do not pursue them as ends in themselves. Then you need to grow in your desire for God's Word. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness will never find any fulfillment apart from the Scriptures. You will not grow in faith. You will not grow in obedience. You will not grow in Christ-likeness. You will not grow in righteousness apart from the Word of God, which is truth. So the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes," like Lachlan, "desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Desire the Word, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. With Christ, number four, you need to develop a submissive spirit to the Lord. Regardless of your wants, regardless of your circumstances, seek to trust God. Understand that God's ways are the wise ways. That God's ways are perfect. That God's will is perfect. Even, maybe I should say, especially when we don't understand. when it's darkness and the storms are raging, yet God's will is perfect. And one of the things the disciple of Jesus Christ does, who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, is to yield his will completely in trust and faith to an almighty God. Jesus' words remind us that no matter how strong in faith you are, or how obedient you are, or how knowledgeable you are in the things of God, you have not arrived at true righteousness. It is a thing to still be desired and longed for and pursued. Contrary to the thinking of the world, and even some Christians, Jesus is telling us that the road to spiritual happiness, to spiritual blessedness, is not doing what we want or getting what we want, but seeking what God commands and what God wants, seeking His righteousness, seeking the righteousness of God is the only way to fulfillment. It's the spiritually hungry who will be filled. It is those thirsting for the Lord whose thirst will be quenched. What we need to understand as followers of Jesus Christ is that the world never satisfies. In the end, it always leaves an aftertaste. It's unfulfilling. Recall the words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If you crave God's righteousness, you will find contentment, blessedness. If you passionately seek after and pursue God with all of your being, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, all of your mind, you will find that God will fill you and satisfy you. As Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Because those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus says, shall be filled. Shall we pray?